thank you for quickly joining our call this morning. We're practicing some social distancing, which is the reason for this call. We can talk about that in a minute as well. So just to make sure that we have an idea of everyone that's available, there are some of us gathered here at Columbus Regional Health. And it's myself, Kelsey DeClue. I'm our public relations coordinator. We have, go ahead, Jim.
Jim Bickel, president and CEO of Columbus Regional Health.
Brian Nedbalski, county health officer.
Dr. Slade Crowder, I'm our vice president of the physician enterprise and associate chief medical officer.
Tom Sunderman, chief medical officer, Columbus Regional Health.
And so we also have some representatives from the city and county. I believe I'll let them go ahead and introduce themselves if they're on the line.
This is Jim Lenup, Mayor of City Columbus.
Carl Lenup, County Commissioner.
Mary Ferdon, Executive Director of Administration for the City.
Dave Hayward, City Engineer and Executive Director of Public Works.
Okay, thanks everyone.
Shannon Hinton, Bartholomew County Emergency Management Director.
Sorry, Shannon. Okay, just one little kind of housekeeping note, as I'm sure we're all getting used to holding more phone conferences like this, especially members of the media, if you could please introduce yourself first before you ask questions, just so that we know who's asking what. And we'll just kind of start with a general statement here, which is what we sent out on behalf of the Bartholomew County Health Department, so that yes, as of Sunday evening, we were notified of our first confirmed COVID-19 positive case. This is a hospital inpatient here at Columbus Regional Health. As of right, current status, a condition on that patient is stable. That patient is in isolation, and as per protocols from the Indiana State Department of Health and CDC, all staff interactions are guided with personal protective equipment and following those protocols. And that's kind of where we're at right now with our kind of general update on that, and I'll turn any comments over to Dr. Nedbalski, who'd like to kind of speak on the health department's behalf.
So as Kelsey stated, I was notified last night at approximately 8:30 p.m. and went through the appropriate channels to make sure that the patient was notified. So we wanted to make sure that all of those proper things were checked off the list before we came forward and started this conference today. As of right now, the patient is stable, still in isolation at Columbus Regional Health.
So now I'll turn it over to questions from specific questions from the media you might have.
This is Andy East at the Republic. Would you all be able to provide any general, demographic information on the patient, like age, gender?
We cannot provide that specific information. That's protected health information. So.
This is Katie at RTV6. Can you confirm that it's an adult? I didn't hear that earlier.
Yeah, we can confirm it is an adult.
Okay, thank you.
This is John Clark at WCSI. Can we talk a little bit about how many tests we've actually done in Bartholomew County and what the results of those tests have been?
So this is Slade Crowder. As you probably know, there's two test pathways, one through ISDH and then also some through LabCorp. We've done, I don't know the exact number, a small number, roughly 3 to 5 state-sanctioned tests. We've also done a handful through LabCorp. We've done about 35 total tests. The ones through LabCorp have about a 3-day turnaround, so we have a lot of tests that are pending.
This is Katie, RTV6. Could you repeat that? Did you say you've done about 35 tests?
That is correct.
Thank you.
Could we talk to this John Clark again at WCSI? Can we talk a little bit about your conclusions on how this was transmitted? It sounds like this person was not in contact with someone who might have been infected or was exposed.
Yeah, so this is Dr. Nedbalski. From the information that we've gathered so far, he had no known ill contacts and he had no travel history.
This is John Clark again. Is there any indication that this person had traveled outside of the county recently or anything like that?
I think we're still undergoing those investigations and those questions at this time.
This is Katie at RTV6. Is there any indication that this person has been to any large events in the last week or so?
And we still don't have that information.
I think this is Kelsey DeClue again. I think while we're on this topic, we wanted to speak a little bit today about that community spread category that has been increasing, obviously. And so I'm going to let the physicians in the room kind of speak to that. But this case is the perfect example as to why some of the precautions and preventive measures are being put in place in communities like ours, for this purpose.
So I'll jump in. This is Slade Crowder. While we're continuing to investigate this patient's history, the initial history indicated no known risk factors that we knew of, no known epidemiologic risk factors such as travel or exposure to another COVID-19 patient. And so I think that raises, evidence that we're in a state of community spread, which should raise all of our level of, caution. We are still doing our due diligence to now, go back and look again at this patient's history, but initial indications was there was no epidemiologic risk factors.
John Clark at WCSI, what does that mean for the community at large that we're in that community spread?
Hello, folks. This is Tom Sunderman, Chief Medical Officer at Columbus Regional. Yes, so sir, what we're now noticing then, and you're seeing that the Centers for Disease Control has changed their recommendation to no greater than 50 people gathering at any one location. You may be aware of some states, for example, Ohio, where recommendations of bars being closed or restaurants being closed, and perhaps other retail organizations. These decisions are being made out of a concern and caution that community spread of the virus is now at a significant level. And so I want to take this opportunity to deliver messages to all of you who can be ambassadors, in this public health initiative that we're all engaged in, and that is sustained social distancing is the key approach to help reduce spread of the COVID-19 virus. Dramatically reducing in-person, face-to-face interaction is a key to reducing this spread. You should ask yourself actively, is there a reason that we have to meet in person or face-to-face to have this discussion? Please consider utilizing methods of communication and interaction other than face-to-face interactions.
And I don't know if at this time, if the city would like to kind of provide some updates related to that on decisions made city countywide, or if there are other questions for Columbus Regional Health or the Health Department, we can still welcome those.
This is Katie at RTV6 again. I'm sorry. Going back to the patient really quick, and you may not even be able to help me, but you said their condition was stable. I mean, were they serious, or is it a mild case? Is it being considered a mild case, or is it like a serious case that is currently stable?
The patient's condition was significant enough that it required admission to the hospital.
Okay, that helps. Thank you.
Well, this is Mayor Lenup, and I think I can speak on behalf of the city and the county. County of Bartholomew, that we just want to repeat what Dr. Sonderman said, that our community's strongest defense is to promote social distancing. It's important for community members to avoid gathering, especially of moderate or large groups in public places. Now, that again, the current recommendations from the CDC are that for the next 8 weeks, organizers cancel or postpone in-person events that consist of 50 or more people. And therefore, based on those recommendations and other proven preventative measures, the City of Columbus and Bartholomew County strongly recommend that organizations and businesses consider canceling or postponing gatherings of 50 or more. We ask that they please keep in mind that the suggestion of 50 is itself an estimate designed to limit the risk of transmitting the virus. If an organization has within its group a larger representation of people with risk factors, such as age over 60, heart, respiratory, or autoimmune issues, you know, the limit should likely be less than 50. And we ask that organizations consider moving their interactions to ways of connecting through phone or digital means. We also recommend the closing of any indoor public places and encouraging restaurants and bars to convert to takeout, drive-through, or delivery options. And again, we know that, you know, as a community, we'll take whatever measures are possible to prevent further spread of the virus. We realize these actions pose an inconvenience to many businesses and members of our community. But difficult decisions such as this are taken with the utmost care and concern for our citizens, for our healthcare system, as it continues to prioritize medical care and medical resources best handle the situation. So again, what we're asking for is that organizations and businesses in the community limit their dining facilities, try to promote takeout or drive-through or delivery options, and that you know, churches and other organizations that routinely meet with groups consider whether they need to meet at all, as Dr. Sonderman said earlier.
Thank you, Mayor. Are you going to be sending that out?
Yeah, that'll go out here within the next 15 minutes.
Perfect. Thank you.
This is John Clark again at WCSI. How is our supply of testing materials? I understand that it's possible that I've heard in the community that the people under the age of, say, 30 showing symptoms will not be tested. Is that the case? Do we have enough supplies?
Yeah, this is Slade Crowder. It is true that there is a shortage of testing supplies. There's two paths for testing, one through the ISDH. They've recommended limiting testing to hospitalized patients, hospitalized patients, healthcare workers who are symptomatic, and residents of nursing homes and prisons. That was their guidance. Now, we can have a second pathway for testing through LabCorp, but there's limited transport media and swabs and some of the materials needed. Therefore, our advice is for relatively healthy people. So a 30-year-old with, you know, a fever and cough and not that sick, we are recommending don't come in. If you have questions, call our hotline. Most of those people would be directed to stay home. We're recommending people with, you know, symptoms that, such as, you know, shortness of breath or risk factors such as age over 60, history of immunocompromised. We recommend those people seek care, and those people, a physician will help determine whether a test would help direct their care.
And just to clarify on that, if I could, so the two pathways, are those both showing up in the figures that the state is reporting every morning, or are those, is there a separate tally somewhere else we should also be looking at?
Yeah, the state website, where it shows our 24 positive and 120 some tests, that is ISDH test. That does not include LabCorp or other third-party Quest, et cetera.
Is there a central clearinghouse for that number?
Changing? Sorry.
I was just going to say, is there a central place to find all of those numbers?
I'm sorry, I'm not aware of a central place to know those numbers.
I was just going to ask, are you sure that hasn't been updated? Because when I talked to ISDH on Friday, she told me that they were going to begin including third-party testing
I would defer that to ISDH.
Okay.
Yeah, this is Dr. Nebalski, and I'm not aware of that.
I'll reach back out to Jennifer, because she's the one that told me on Friday that they were updating that to include those.
Yeah, this is Jim Bickle. If you look on the state's website right now, under says total tested by ISDH is 139. There's a footnote right below that says it reflects only those performed at ISDH and CDC. So I think you need to reach out to them, but that's, unless that's been updated, somebody might be. Yeah. Now, the positive results are footnoted that it is all-inclusive, but that the test number is not. So you might look at that website, but I would get confirmation from the State Department of Health on that.
That may be what I need to clarify it on. Maybe it was just the positive results. She was telling me we're going to be all-inclusive.
John Clark, again, for the people in the community, is there a reason to be more concerned than they were when they woke up this morning?
This is Dr. Nebalski. This doesn't really change from when we had our press conference the other day. We just want people to be prepared and cautious and follow our recommendations. We don't. Other than that, nothing has changed.
And this is Slade Crowder. I might explain it by what I told my wife this morning is we don't need to be afraid. I'm not afraid for my wife or my children. This is a mild illness for many, but there is a subset of our population, elderly and immunocompromised, who this can kill. And it's our social responsibility to help limit the spread of this disease for those who are weaker than us. And therefore, we'll take the steps and the social distancing to protect others.
And a second point I'd like to make as well is that in addition to protecting those most vulnerable, the more that we can be diligent and we can comply with those principles of social distancing helps us to hopefully reduce not only the total cases that we would encounter, but how rapidly we receive them. And the more that we can control how rapid we receive the cases, the better the healthcare system is able to respond and not be overloaded by a massive influx of positive cases.
John, this is Mayor Lennep. And I guess I would want to add that we would like to have people's attention. It is important for people to understand that these recommendations that we're making with respect to gatherings ought to be followed. Over the weekend, I drove around town and just observed, cars in the parking lots of various places. And you could easily tell that some places they got the memo. They were, following the recommendation, and other places were not. And so we want to emphasize the need for social distancing throughout the community. And so I don't know that has not changed from Friday, but we want to take this opportunity to emphasize how serious we are about that.
Mayor, if I could, a follow-up question, John Clark from WCSI again. For the recommendations, I know you stressed that the recommendations are only recommendations. For any of the government officials here, is there a line at which those go from being recommendations to being required by law?
We've had some conversations about that, and I would have to say that we don't think that the city can make those. How do I want to put this? Can give those the force of law? I think that's something that needs to come from the governor, needs to come from the governor. So at this point, we're simply trying to make a case very similar to what Dr. Crowder made a moment ago, that it's our responsibility to step forward and do what we can to help prevent the spread of this virus. And social distancing is the way to do that. And so we want people to comply.
So this is Dr. Nebalski again. I just wanted to mention, I don't think this has been addressed yet, but whenever anyone is concerned and has symptoms, fever, cough, shortness of breath, we want to make sure they're still not showing up at providers' offices or the emergency room. We strongly, strongly recommend that they were calling ahead of time with any concerns.
And to add to that, so we mentioned it earlier and just now, that number again, if you don't have it for our COVID-19 triage resource call center is 812-379-9994. I'm sorry, 4449. 812-379-4449. We have time for a few more questions. I also want to make a note that as you're going through your notes from this press conference, if you have questions, please direct those to me, and I will do my best to get those answered for you. Okay. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining the call this morning. As there are new updates regarding this and anything else that comes under the COVID-19 community response category, we'll be getting those out to you. We appreciate your support. And, yeah, thank you.